A Republican congressman who represents Bloomington Normal says he doesn't like how the next COVID relief package is taking shape.
This is a little like throwing money out of a helicopter.
That's Darren LaHood. I'm Ryan Denham, and this is WGLT's The Leadoff.
Support for The Leadoff on WGLT and WGLT.org comes from Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at CIRA.com.
It's Tuesday, February 23rd. Coming up, what you need to know to start your day. It's The Leadoff from WGLT, Bloomington Normal's public media. Now let's lead off with a look at McLean County's COVID vaccination site. Central Illinois Congressman Darren LaHood called the clinic at Grossinger Motors Arena a model site. There's just one problem. There are not enough vaccines. Eric Stock reports.
Congressman LaHood says the Biden administration should negotiate with the vaccine makers to boost production. The Peoria Republican says that's the only way the U.S. will get to herd immunity this summer.
Everything that is holding up our economy and that's still got people concerned from a healthcare standpoint is not having the vaccine. We have the ability to produce it now, get it produced. We have facilities like this that can get shots in the arm. This is what we need to do.
Pfizer has already pledged to double its COVID vaccine production in the coming weeks. McLean County is getting about 4,000 vaccine doses a week. About 4% of the county's population has received both doses. The McLean County Health Department has had to delay expanded eligibility because the vaccine supply remains low. Congress is expected to vote on a nearly $2 trillion coronavirus relief bill this week. LaHood says the bill should focus on vaccine distribution and small business relief, but he says the measure goes far beyond that.
This is a little like throwing money out of a helicopter. Let's specify where this money is going to do that. There's money in there for museums and humanities funding. I mean, nothing to do with COVID.
LaHood says he also opposes a minimum wage increase and stimulus checks for undocumented immigrants. And House Republicans have tapped LaHood to lead their fundraising campaign. LaHood says the recent election gives the GOP momentum to try to win back the House next year after the party trimmed the Democratic majority in the lower chamber.
What gives me a lot of optimism in winning back the House and why I took this job is you look at our new freshman class of Republicans. 12 women, many of them minorities. We have veterans. It's a class that is the most diverse Republican class we've ever had, 2 African Americans.
When asked if the Republican Party will try to raise money for primary candidates who could challenge the party's Donald Trump critics, LaHood said the National Republican Congressional Committee doesn't get involved in primaries. For The Leadoff, I'm Eric Stock.
Here's some other stories we're following the WGLT Newsroom. McLean County's COVID testing positivity rate is holding steady at about 2.8%. Our 216 active cases is the lowest that's been since mid-October. Governor J.B. Pritzker signed a criminal justice omnibus bill. It abolishes cash bail, overhauls police certification, and reforms use of force standards, among other numerous provisions. Hammett Brown was convicted of first-degree murder yesterday in the shooting deaths of 2 people during a June 2018 party on Orchard Road in Bloomington. Find more on these stories at WGLT.org. McLean County's largest school district, Unit 5, is undergoing an equity audit. It's the type of review that can reveal equity and inequity and help plan for improvement. Charlie Schlenker checked in with Superintendent Kristen Weichel about what they've learned so far.
Actually, we have not received the results of any part of the equity audit yet. Dr. Dubiel said that she hopes to have that to us, you know, by June at the latest for us to review, and we will be making a presentation to the board and to the community in August.
What sort of timeline do you want to have for implementation?
Even though, you know, the plan isn't formalized, we have been working on a variety of things throughout this school year and will continue to do so. The district equity leadership team, which is made up of certified and non-certified staff, as well as some administrators, they are developing an implementation plan for the 2021-22 school year. And so that's what we'll present in August, and we're looking at a variety of things, such as systems, like what are the policies, procedures that we have in place, We're looking at the teaching and learning aspect. We're looking at student voice, climate and culture, professional learning or professional development, and then family and community. Some of those are long-term items that will carry over into the following school year. The purpose of doing this is so that way we will review it and revise the plan at least on an annual basis. Kind of similar to what school improvement plans have been like in the past, this will, you know, truly be that living, breathing document that we update the board and the community and staff about, as well as continue to change based on our needs and the progress that we've made.
The governor's budget speech largely holds education flat. However, that will mean it's going to be at least 2 years, and with the state finances in very tight shape, it's likely that there will be multiple years where there will be no increase in state support for school districts. How much do increasing costs eat into your buying power every year if state support continues to be flat?
I don't have a percentage off the top of my head, but it definitely impacts schools. As you said, it really would be the second year of basically flat funding. And of course, our expenses don't remain flat. They do increase, whether that be energy costs, supplies and materials, you know, equipment, personnel due to contracts. Unfortunately, that flat funding does put not only Unit 5, but schools across the state really behind when it comes to the equitable funding and the evidence-based funding model. And unfortunately, it makes me fearful that we'll get back to the predicament we used to be in several years ago, where funding would decrease or remain flat, costs would increase. And so anytime expenses are greater than revenue, you have a problem on your hands.
How long can you take it before you have to make budget adjustments?
We definitely have been making budget adjustments. So just recently, you know, we had been meeting with building administrators to look at what are our staffing levels now and what are our staffing levels needed for next school year. But yes, you know, there will be a point where we're going to have to look at, okay, what does this mean for us? And I anticipate Marty Hickman, our CFO, will give the board, you know, an update as we do a forecast into next school year's budget.
That's Unit 5 Superintendent Kristen Weichel speaking with Charlie Schlenker. Before we let you go, the Connect Transit Board meets today at 4:30. The board plans to rank the final three options for the new downtown transfer center. That is it for today. Support for WGLT's The Leadoff comes from the Central Illinois Regional Airport in Bloomington, now offering nonstop flights to Detroit on Delta Airlines, connecting travelers to the world. Schedules and information at cira.com.